is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Not Too Late Show with Miche Meisner. Miche is an inspirational humorist, an alchemical wizard, and a healer's healer. Gifted with psychic abilities, sharp insight, loving nature, and lots of study, she brings light to the planet through multiple modalities. Get ready for today's wisdom and woo. Here's Miche.
Hey, folks, another happy Wednesday to you, and welcome to the Not Too Late Show, where it is never too late to step into your power, to express your gift, or to discover your genius. Turn up your light, step out, be the gift you came here to be. And I would just add and bring home the point there that even if you're over 60, like I am now and like my guest is, it's still not too late. We can, you know, take hold of our lives. We can make changes. We can share our gifts and go after our dreams. So I am your host, Miche Meisner, just turned 61 recently. And this is one of my very favorite places to be and to share awesome people that I know and love and come across. Some are friends, some are relative strangers until we're on the show together. To share their exceptional wisdom, magical woo, and life experiences with you. I'm talking today with my guest, Alexandria Barker, about releasing past trauma and creating a new soul-aligned life. She will hopefully do some meditation, take us through some meditation, and maybe teach us some tools. Alexandria is a law of attraction author, speaker, trainer, and life coach who left an emotionally abusive 30-year marriage to start her life over at 60. I think we're in for a really interesting ride and story to hear about how she made that transition in her life and what she can teach us and what she offers to her clients. So thank you, Alexandria, for joining me on the show.
Hi, Miche. I'm so happy to be here. Can you hear me all right?
I do. Could maybe pop it up a little bit, but
okay, I'll speak a little bit louder.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the name of your show. As you say, it's never too late, and and I'm self-evident of that, being that I was 60 when I left, and with not much more than my three cats in the car and my crystals and the clothes on my back. So, and since then, I was able to successfully heal my own abuse trauma, regain my self-confidence, and create a life I love doing the work that I've been doing for 20 years, but I was really meant to do, and really honing in on helping other women heal the trauma of emotionally abusive relationships and discover who they really are. So I don't know if you want to get right into that or if you'd like us to ground down with a nice meditation to begin.
Before that, before we go into sort of the healing and the transformation, you know, I think a lot of people, a lot of my guests even, and a lot of my listeners have been through various levels of, you know, trauma and abuse in their lives, whether it was, you know, a marriage or whatever. But what I found with many of us, actually not me because that wasn't my experience, but for many people that I listen to and speak with, that their abuse started pretty early and just, you know, continued, unfortunately, often to expand and grow and deepen in not pleasant ways, right? And so I'm just wondering, you know, if you could share a little bit about, you know, your journey, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Well, I started with the help of a therapist. I was able to realize that it didn't begin with this husband, or he was my second husband, or even the first husband. It began with the relationship with my father, who, although he wasn't abusive, he wasn't emotionally available just due to his own nature. And he was sort of a workaholic, but he was a good father, but he just wasn't giving me what I needed emotionally, which led me to an abusive marriage, and then from physically abusive to an emotionally abusive with a narcissistic individual. And they're kind of sneaky. You don't always catch on right away. And
right.
Then when you do, it just gets really confusing if anyone has any stories with that. So, but I was always on the healing path myself and had been teaching as a Reiki master and various other therapies that I had been studying. I was able to help other people even for like 20 years now, but I was still stuck in this relationship with this narcissistic, raging alcoholic who I was trying to save, and he seemed to be wanting to, but even though he really wasn't. So you just kind of, you begin to live in a pattern of attracting that, because you're thinking the same thoughts, and your thoughts just, and your actions and your beliefs are just like on a loop that keeps you continually attracting that kind of an individual. And, I mean, and then it gets like, it begins to be like we're just playing an endless game of whack-a-mole, you know, because it's like one set of problems is under control, another pops up, and it's like you're just forever trying to maintain all these problems that keep popping up. And the real problem is you are not living your soul divinity. You're not living aligned with your soul level gifts, and that is draining your vital life force energy, and it's letting you be in this repetitive loop. So that's what I so love to help people break out of that, because I know once they do, they're just going to go from being sad and frustrated and angry and all these other, you know, emotions that they're not loving, to actually being so happy and having much more confidence and self-esteem than ever before. So I've taken all the different things that I've been studying, and I've learned how to really help people that, because I really believe that knowing your divine gifts is really the starting point of living a truly happy, abundant life. And mm-hmm. and especially if you don't even know how you're creating your own reality, you're sort of destined to keep repeating the same over and over again. So once you learn some of these basic tools, it enables you to really live the life of your dreams. Because you can't change your reality if you don't know how, and you don't even know that you're creating your own reality. But in the meantime, you can be creating a pretty miserable life for yourself, you know? It's like, why do these problems keep happening? Like, why, like, names and places and faces change, but it's the same situation over and over and over again. And the sad thing is it will be until you really get to that root cause, which is really discovering your own divine soul nature.
Uh-huh. And I would imagine in there, too, somewhere you got to figure out or discover that something else is possible. I mean, yes, you need to realize, you know, that you have a hand in creating it, you know, but if you don't even know that there are other ingredients, you know, and other possibilities that you can work with, then okay, then you're stuck feeling or knowing that you're creating this. And, you know, I think that is actually, you know, for any of y'all who were, you know, participating in the New Age, you know, time, you know, 20, 30 years ago, there was a lot of feeling, you know, that there was a lot of blame and responsibility put on people, you know, because you create your own reality, therefore it's your fault, and, you know, and then what?
I totally know, and I agree with what you're saying, and I know that there was a lot of that blaming the victim, and the thing is, you don't have to be a victim, and you don't know if, like, a lot of this is happening on these thoughts, they're repetitive, they're on this loop, you're not even aware of them, it's like a white noise going on in the background. So part of the work that I do is to help them become aware of these thoughts so they can change them, because otherwise they could leave an abuser and then wind up right again with another one of a different garden variety like I did, you know, and I mean that keeps happening until you actively go in and change that. And I just, it makes me so sad to look out and see all the people still in that situation, and they're like, they're feeling stuck and disempowered and stressed out, and they're so frustrated because they're like, they're perceiving that, yeah, I'm the victim, I did this to myself. But it's not like, you know, you have to go beyond that and see, you know, you have to clear the trauma of that abuse, and that usually requires professional guidance. It doesn't go away by itself. It's not something that time is going to heal. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, once you start to create your life the way you truly want it, I mean, there's so many people in these same situations. I see them all the time. And I just want anyone out there listening to know there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, it's just, it's happening because you're in this mental rut and you're just thinking the same thoughts that brought the negative results in the first place. And you're basically recreating your life daily with the same circumstances and beliefs, and it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling, and it's really, you know, you just got to get off that treadmill, and it's very doable. You know, that's the message. That's why I like to speak out in forums like this, to let people know, like, yeah, I was 60 and I started over and I went back into the workforce with basically nothing. I had been pretty much retired for 10 years and so, you know, and I was just doing a different, like I was giving talks and doing spiritual work, but when I moved to a whole new area, you know, I had to recultivate all of that, but I did it, you know, and you can do it. And I just want anyone else out there to don't stay a second longer in an abusive, emotionally abusive relationship, because it's not going to change. It's not going to get better. It's the only thing that's going to get better is you after you get out of there. Get the hell out of Dodge, you know, as you can. Yes. And then, but the thing is, like, everything we experience, there is a gift there. So I help them uncover this gem so they don't feel like it's just, oh, my God, I wasted years, I wasted my life, I did all this. No, that's not the case. There's the beautiful gem. And when you see that you are a divine being, you're not a victim, you're a divine being, and you have the power to create anything you want. And once you start, once you prove that to yourself, it's just amazing what happens with people, and they just flower. It's just such a beautiful thing. You know, once they discover their true essence, and they know that they can evolve beyond this experience, it doesn't define them. They can move on to personal fulfillment and, you know, and realize that they aren't a victim. And they, you know, this had a purpose, and they can turn that shit to fertilizer. You know, and really grow.
Uh-huh. Right. Without necessarily going into a real specific, I'm wondering, like, what triggered, you know, obviously you went through a lot of shit for a lot of years.
Yeah, I did.
You know, what was the moment or a trigger or something that helped you finally, you know, like, I don't know, hit bottom or have enough or have, you know, some light bulb go off, you know, that got you even to a therapist or to looking at things in a different way?
Well, yeah, I can share that. So basically it all came to a head. I sort of attempted to leave a few times, and I wasn't very successful. For one thing, being a narcissist, he had lots of tools of his own to keep me there. And so I had that sort of thing to deal with, like he had a way of turning things all around. But it was actually my 60th birthday, and I had already done, I don't want to get into processes that I do, but I do Akashic record, soul realignment, which revealed so much to myself and made me really realize what I was doing. But I was still, even with that knowledge, I was still, that freed me to a degree, but I was still felt so bound. I didn't want a second divorce, you know. I didn't want to put, we had four kids together. I didn't want to, mind you, they're all adults. We already had grandkids by that point in time. But also by that point in time, the kids were no longer coming around because he had, his addictions had started to overcome him. You know, there was alcohol, he was a raging alcoholic, and there was also substance abuse that I had been unaware of. And it all just kind of came to light. As he hit bottom, that's when it became very clear, and I ultimately said, well, you know, if you seek out therapy, if, you know, if you get yourself into rehab, I will stand by you, but otherwise, you know, I think we're going our separate ways. And then I actually had a very fascinating experience. I saw a psychic. I just happened to be, you know, in a store. I knew the owner, and she just happened to have this event going on where she'd brought some psychics, and it was an aura reader. And I wasn't even going to have her do it because it was expensive. And I was like, yep. And she was kind of scary. You know, she was big and had big energy and, like, big hair and everything. And But anyway, I did. I couldn't leave. I had to talk to her. Something just kept drawing me toward this person, and so I laid my money down, and she just looked at me, and she just she knew my life. She started telling me everything I had been living about all these, all these chances I gave him, all these agreements that were being broken. And she wrote, she asked me his name, and she wrote it down and ran her fingers over it, and she just physically recoiled. And she said that he's so, you know, he says one thing, he does another. He doesn't know what he wants. He says this to you, but he's, you know, she's telling me all this stuff about him. And then she's like, please leave him, you know. And I was in tears. I was like, but I love him, you know. And she's like, he doesn't love you. I'm sorry. He doesn't love anybody but himself, and he doesn't even love him, you know. And so it was she just kept telling me this stuff and telling me and saying, she kept repeating, you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Like, how many times have you had these, you know, like, we're breaking up. We're getting together. We're breaking up. We'll give it another try, you know. And then I realized, and she helped me realize, that if I accepted it back, it was only going to get worse, and it was going to continue, and it wouldn't be without punishment, for sure, you know? Like, it was just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And then she just said, you know, it's covering up your spirit. It's killing your spirit. And that's what made me really snap, too. She said, it's like you're this beautiful flame, but you're being covered by this dark, dirty, heavy, you know, dark energy. And she said, and you got, like, you know, this small space that's still, you know, getting air through to that flame. But she said, it's dying. It's killing you. You can't continue to do your work. You think you can, but his energy is all over you. You know, because I had a beautiful home, which was hard to leave as well, beautiful gardens, you know, like, right. My practice was there. You know, it's all that stuff. And I thought, this is good training. I thought he was training me in how to hold myself more positive. I was like, if I can do this in the face of this, then I'm really getting strong. And I, you know, you tell yourself lies, right? Yes, sure. But the reality was... You know, it was never going to get better. And, you know, when I did leave, there was so much that I found out about that I didn't even know, like massive debts that I didn't even know about, you know, but you're still on the hook, you know. So, I mean, yeah, it had really gotten quite intense. And my kids were also saying, Mom, it's time to leave. Like, Mom, enough, you know. And they weren't coming home anymore because they didn't want their children exposed to him. So that's when it finally, like, he's not doing what he says he's doing. He's not trying to quit at all. He was hiding it from, you know, and that's when you finally, it was self-preservation. That's what it was. It was just finally, I need to do this, or I'm going down with him. So, yeah, that's what finally brought it to a head for me. Push came to shove.
And you have somebody be able to kind of mirror that to you, or, you know, I mean, we can't always see what is right in front of our face, you know.
Just get used to living it. You get in that same pattern. So I know that very well. And, you know, like, it was just like you accept, the bar gets lowered and lowered and lowered. And you're just like, you know what it is? It's like if there was a fabulous, this is a great example. So imagine there's a frog. So there was an experiment done, and I'm sure really no frogs were hurt, I hope. But there was one where if you drop a frog into a pot of boiling water, that frog will try to get out. I mean, it may die in the trying, but it's going to strive to get out right away. But if you have a frog in water and you're slowly turning up the heat, it will die without even trying to get out.
Yeah, I know that frog story, and I agree. I hope no frogs were hurt.
I know. I like frogs, so, so let's assume they weren't. But it does make for a good analogy, doesn't it? It's like, so you understand, like, and then you just, like, you know, I was settling for less and less and less and less, and I was hurting. I was dying inside, but it took for a stranger to see me, tell me what I was living, and then I went home and told him, and then I left, like, within a few days after that. I'd already made my choice, my decision, you know, but he was trying to get me to back to the status quo, and he would do things like threaten suicide and stuff like that. And you know, looking back, I was like, yeah, he had no intention of ever following through on that.
Right.
Got me back in line.
You know, a whole other, you know, show or ten, which, I mean, I'm about, you know, narcissists and living with them and what's possible and not, which is not this show. There's other people who are dealing with that stuff, you know, so, you know, and I imagine you help people with that, you know, but I'm going to, you know, let's
let's not dig any deeper into who he was. We know that he was bad for you. You got out.
Yes, he was bad for me. Well, he was a very broken person. Let's just leave it at that. And alcoholic and narcissism. And I don't know that anyone can successfully live with one. I wouldn't recommend trying. I tried for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was narcissistic. I left, though. But anyway, after I did leave and after a therapist helped me really realize, you know, that, you know, it does take someone to help you. Like, it could be a coach, it could be a therapist, it could be a psychiatrist or psychologist. But anyway, it's not something you can do on your own. I tried for a while. I tried for quite a few months, and I was like, yeah, it's not going away by itself. It really does need someone to help you through that. And that's when I kind of rededicated my commitment to helping other women who were in the same situation, who had come out of a relationship like that. And ready to heal and not knowing where to start. And so that's why I was like, it all begins with knowing who you are at soul level. And when you know that, then everything else becomes possible.
Mm-hmm. Great. I heard, I was listening to someone that I follow on and off, Dane here from Access Consciousness. I was listening to a talk that he gave, and he said something which I say similar, but I thought he said it, you know, very succinctly and well. You know, the idea that whatever you've been through, you know, you just bring into your life, you know, like you were saying, like it's not all to be thrown away, that there are gems that are in there with you. So how he put it was that everything that you've ever experienced is a tool for more possibility for you. If you've experienced meanness and gotten through it, if you've experienced abuse and gotten through it, if you've experienced people dying in your family and have a sense of peace with it, that is a gift and a contribution to all of us. It wasn't because you were wrong that you chose it. It was because there was a greatness that you are, that you wanted to be able to speak about in the world and be a source for other people to choose. And I just think that's such an empowering way to look at, you know, whatever difficulties we've been through and challenges in our lives, to find, you know, something empowering in that and look at, look at what we can bring and not be, you know, like for me, I've talked about my depression or whatever, and I spent most of my life in some pretty serious depression. I'm not there now, and I could sort of regret and woe is me about all those years. And it brought to me who I am today and the compassion and understanding that I have for people with similar struggles. And so the same, you know, kind of with you, with having gone through this and with anyone else that we're talking to who's lived through this kind of thing, like not that we wanted it and not that we chose it in that sense of like, gee, I want to, you know, come into this life.
Not consciously,
And they do become strengths and wisdom and powers that we have. So
absolutely. In fact, I always wanted a T-shirt. I saw something, I survived this. That's what's your superpower? And I wanted to make some up. I survived being married to a narcissist. What's your superpower?
I can get pretty crazy.
But I agree. It does give you so – after I left and I realized how strong I really am and how much love I have and the capacity to love as deeply as I did, even in the face of all the emotional abuse, which was pretty horrific, you know, I have so much respect for myself. I just felt so much compassion for myself and also for anyone else who's living in a similar situation. And that's why sharing the story is so important, because it's like there is life after, you know, being an emotionally abusive or even physically, whichever, there is life after that. And a lot of that comes from just filling yourself up like that. Self-love, self-care, self-love is just—it's so, so important for overcoming any kind of trauma like that. It's just—it's vitally important. And it's something that's downplayed, I think, in our society. I don't think people really cultivate a lot of the practices as much as we could. And the more we do, the stronger we become and the more we're able to really shine our light. And so for me, part of why I'm so dedicated to this group is I feel like those women, if you're a woman and you're in an emotionally abusive relationship, chances are very good that you are an empath, because anybody else would have dumped his ass by now. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so these are the loving, caring people that we need, and we need them to be whole and healthy and, you know, able to help others. So we need all those people. They're wonderful, loving people. They've just been hurt really bad, and they just need someone to help them out of that and help them see what wonderful people they are, because I know I know who they are because I was them. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's who I was. And
right.
I put on a pretty good mask. Nobody knew. I was still, you know, mm-hmm. I had a TV talk show and a magazine and everything else around holistic healing and spirituality, and I wrote books all while living that my own private hell, but thinking I was helping my partner, and but
mm-hmm.
I wasn't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right. And we need to know that, firstly, to love ourselves and appreciate who we are. You
yes.
know, in a situation like that, it's been pretty much beaten out of you one way or another. We're not also, you know, we don't get brought up that way, really. You know, maybe nowadays I would hope that parenting is, you know, different. But, you know, back in the day of, like, Dr. Spock, he certainly wasn't, you know, promoting teach your child that, you know, they should come first in their own mind and, you know, be the center of their own world. And love
yeah,
themselves.
That's a new belief. And I'm of that, like you and I are of that generation where it was like children should be seen and not heard. So
yeah.
It was very typical, like for me, for, you know, as a child growing up, and I came from a military background, so my dad traveled a lot, and he was very trying to advance his career, so he'd spend a lot of time taking courses and stuff. So he'd be in his den with the door closed. You know,
mm-hmm.
That was mostly what I remember. He was away, or he was in the den, door closed, and it'd be, you know, so it wasn't that he just wasn't what I needed. You know, so
right.
it's, and I see that so differently now. Like I see my children with their kids, and it's completely different. Like the dads are very hands-on, and they're all like, you know. But I think we just had to evolve to that point as society, you know.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now we're changing again, and we're like really, really embracing, you know, the healers, the light workers, the people. Like we're recognizing that we all have something to contribute to the world at large, and that it's time to really shine.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for all of that background and, you know, bigger.
You're welcome.
And
it just pours out once you get started.
Little,
it's just like, wow.
Yeah. I'm a little worked up with all
I wanted
of
to
that.
Be transparent, and I wanted everyone to know that I'm not just sort of like, I've been in the trenches too, and
yeah.
I crawled out, and now I'm
right.
there to offer a helping hand to help others out as well.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So let's all just take a breath or two. And
like, need one after that, and a sip of water.
Breathing or meditation, you know, that you want to lead us through. Take a breath or two yourself.
Yes,
I'm sure that was that. Yeah, and let's. So now we're on the sort of like healing portion, let's say, right?
Okay. Well, then I would just like everyone to just as you say, just take a deep breath. What I'd like to guide us all through today is a heart meditation, and I think you will love it. And like the Heart Math Institute has done a lot of studies about how we need to bring our heart and our brain into cohesion to, you know, for healing on all levels. So that's why I thought I would do a heart meditation. Let's take a deep breath in through your nose, breathe it all the way down to your toes, and hold the energy there a moment. And let it go. Another deep breath in, just a nice cleansing breath. Breathing it right down, move it around, your heels to your toes, and release. And one more deep cleansing breath before we really get into the heart meditation. Breathe it right down to your feet. And this time, just let it, as you exhale, imagine it going down through your feet, down into a beautiful root or a tube or something that's going to take it right down to the core, the center of the earth. Just release anything that no longer serves you. You don't even have to know what it is. Just let it go. Let it release down and out. Beautiful. Just keep letting it go. Now, at the same time, we're going to start bringing in beautiful energy from like celestial energy, bringing it down to the crown, the top of your head, and filling up any spaces where we've released negativity. We're now going to fill it with positivity. because that's the key to everything, is just becoming more and more positive. So let's now focus on our heart center. So the actual, not the anatomical heart, but the heart chakra located at the center of your chest. And just bringing your awareness here. You might like to picture a beautiful candle, like a birthday candle with a little flame. And just imagining that flame is starting to grow and grow and fill your heart center. And thinking of someone you love, someone or something, it could be an idea, it could be a person, it could be a pet. Thinking of something that you love, just to really feel that beautiful emotion. And now you can just let that visual go and just holding on to that feeling, though. And just feeling your heart grow and expand with every breath. Now we're just going to visualize an infinity symbol. And the knot is at your heart center, your heart chakra. So just breathing it out, breathing love out, and breathing it back in through your heart center, back out into the world, and back in. So just breathing in and out through your heart as if your heart was doing the breathing, and we're following this beautiful infinity symbol in and out. Feeling how good that feels. This is something you could do for like 3 minutes every day, and you would feel so much better. Continuing to breathe. Now, I just would invite all our listeners to just, while we're doing this heart breathing, to think of one thing that they want most. Like if you were to ask them, give them one wish, what would that wish be? And just imagine that it's been granted and that this is the day after it's been granted. Feeling so proud of yourself, so happy and so overjoyed that you've achieved this goal. And you can just think to yourself, I am a success. And use your name, I, fill in the blank, am a success. Feeling that as we're breathing in and out through our heart center. Feeling how good that feels. Just a brief visualization there. And now just letting that go. And just taking a couple of just normal breathing, normalizing breaths in and out. When you're ready, you can just gently open your eyes and welcome back. And just feeling how much more centered you feel now. Imagine, like, that's so powerful. It's something you can do every day, anywhere.
Yeah, that's great. Just a few minutes and so different. You know,
I didn't
energy.
Know how much time we had, so I didn't want it to go on too long, but I did want to make sure we fit that in because I would love people to take that away with them today and just to remember that no matter what we've experienced, it's all there to make us who we are, you know, and so there's nothing wrong with any of it. It all ultimately has its own perfection. Every experience we go through.
Great. Yeah, that was wonderful. And I'm thinking in the moment that I might, when we get the replay going, I might just cut that part out and put it up as a separate little thing
so that
we can go right into the calm and the peace and love and expansion without having to walk the gauntlet, you know, to get there.
I hope it wasn't too, I didn't intend to stress anyone out or anything by sharing that story, but just to know that, you know, we can come back from everything, but it all begins, we have to accept it. The more we resist, the longer it's going to stick around. So it's just a matter of learning to embrace all the emotions, the full spectrum. Like, we didn't come down here just to be happy, you know. Well, maybe we did, but I mean, but there's lots of other things that life entails. And just, you know, don't let anything bog you down. You can always move beyond. We're so resilient, you know, and when we realize how much so, and when we start to realize that this, like, it's all just an illusion anyway, you know, so it's just a matter of realizing that, I think, and just deciding to be happy. Like, let it be easy for yourself. Intend that.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, another important piece is sort of like dropping the judgment, right, that this was wrong. I believe that
we
are all divine
beings.
That's
a tough one, but that sets you free. You know, when you can, like, not even blame them, that was a, you know, that's a big challenge. But for me, it was a turning point in my life when I was finally able to, like, not be so angry at him, you know, when I was finally able to accept, you know, and let it go. And just accept that it was what it was. It couldn't be any different. That's the real thing, I think, that stuck with me so long. I kept thinking it should have been different. It should have been different. It should have been this way. This shouldn't have happened, you know, because I was doing my level best every day of my life, you know, so how come it didn't work, you know? But when we accept that, it couldn't have been any other way, given the people involved, you know, it could not have been any different. It was what it was, and then you just, that's fine, and that's beautiful, and now I can help other people. You know, like that's in it, they can say to themselves, it's like now there's going to be a way that they can be more compassionate, you know, and help someone else. And I think we're all here to help each other.
Yeah, and to have experiences. I mean, from the point of view that, you know, we are divine beings here having a human experience, we're going to screw it up. I mean, we're here. You know, I mean, if everything went to perfectly, whatever perfectly was, you know, I mean, I don't think that we have to have conflict and have to have hardship in order to grow, you know, but I think when you go
I think we can make that choice now. I think we're, I agree with you. Yeah.
Right.
We can grow without that now.
But, you know, we're coming here in this territory, right, which is about duality and about survival and all of that, and some of it is just plain not going to feel good. It won't feel as bad if we don't judge ourselves for being wrong about it. And just, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean that you like it or you want to stay in it or you shouldn't get out. You know, I'm not saying that. But just if we, you know, accept ourselves and whatever we've had to go through or whatever we did go through and whatever else is possible and you know, still understand, hold on to that divine nature that we are, you know, which I think is what are teaching people how to do, how to recognize, then you can step into the greater awareness and expansiveness of you. You know, it's like bringing your divine nature out through your humanity, you know, kind of bringing it down into you and then expressing it in this environment.
I really feel like gratitude is a huge piece. It's part of my daily practice. I do all the time, but I also feel like the forgiveness is an equally huge piece. But it's not just forgiving the person who perpetrated, you know, the abuse on whatever level it was. It's also forgiving ourselves for having stayed and having and trying to understand, like, why did I, like, you know, like, you know. So that's a huge piece too, because that's the kind of stuff that can come back on you and, like, and make you angry at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Don't forget, when you're busy pointing your finger, the other, you know, you have three fingers pointing back at you, too. Yes, he was all those things, but I also stayed, even though I was in my warped sense thinking I was, you know, doing the right thing. But really, the right thing was to walk away in the end and to accept that, you know. So then we just grow and we start to, once we're free, I mean, it's like I feel like, you know, I actually had a dream where I turned into a butterfly in this dream, and it was really cool. It was really real, twitchy feeling too, and it's just like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. You know, like everything kind of dissolved, but then was reformed into this new, you know, new powerful, strong, confident being. And I mean, that outcome is there for everybody. You know, so right. I don't want anyone who's listening to podcasts, like I used to sit and listen to them and then feel like, yeah, that wouldn't work for me because I've got this situation. But I tell you, any situation, there's a way out, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There really truly is, and there's people like, and processes. There's therapies now that didn't exist before. Like when I did my own soul realignment, that's what enabled me to leave a 31-year abusive marriage that I had tried to leave before. Because I realized how tied we had been and what my divine, you know, what my gifts are. And they were being wasted, you know. But
yeah.
So it's,
but
the more you learn about yourself, when you really discover who you are at soul level, it really it just makes all things possible. Because then you know, like, I came here for a reason. This is the reason. Now I know my life purpose. And now I know, like, I'm who God most wanted to be. That quote, I'm quoting somebody. I can't think of who said that, but I think it was Mike Dooley even. But I am who God most wanted to be in this lifetime. So now I need to honor that. You
right.
know, I need to honor that. Like, we're all God. We're all who God most wanted to be. Every one of us. All divine. And, you know, it's just to come back into that knowing. And that's where ultimate freedom is, and ultimate happiness, because you can be happy. You don't have to be suffering. You can move past that.
Yeah. All right. So we've got maybe another 10 or 15 minutes to our time here. And, you know, is there another process that you want to take us through? Is there something else, something you want to teach us? What, you know, what do you think? What have you got?
Well, sure. Yeah. Let's do... All right, so I know everybody, I used to give a lot of talks about how to achieve happiness, and so let's go through some of that, because, you know, the last few minutes of the day is so important. So this is coming to you. I'm putting on my law of attraction coach hat here.
Okay,
the last few
good.
Minutes of the day typically is when people will kind of rehash their day. And that's great if you had a great day, but it's not so great if you had a crappy day, because then you're just setting yourself up for more.
Right.
So ideally, the last 5 minutes of the day should be reflecting and looking for whatever the most successful moment was, which could be anything. Maybe you made a really good blog post, or maybe you made a really important phone call, or whatever it was, or the happiest moments of the day. Maybe you got to cuddle a grandchild or a little kitten or a puppy or something. So you reflect on and try to shoot for like 3 to 5. Like really happy moments, and just reflecting on them for a few minutes, and thinking and feeling gratitude, and just being grateful, and then going to sleep on that. So not only will this help you drift off to a nice, happy, peaceful sleep, but it's also going to pre-program you for the next day. You're going to wake up, because we wake up in the same mental frame. State of mind as we went to sleep in. So if you go to sleep and you're stressed out, or you're angry, or you're whatever it is, you're going to wake up feeling like that. And you're going to wake, it's going to snap too, as soon as you're like, you're laying here in your bed, oh yeah, I'm awake. Oh yeah, that bastard did this. You know, I'm mad again, right now. And that's how we get on this endless loop. So when you clear it, if you're having like happy thoughts, you're waking up and going, oh, I feel really good today. Okay, so then as soon as you slip your feet over the bed, you just say thank you. And this I learned from The Secret, the movie, just making it your mantra, just thank you with every step. And head to your, you know, head to your kitchen, sit and do a gratitude list as you're having your breakfast. Which I really recommend that, because you want to set your tone early in the day before any negative thoughts kind of can take over, because they can really, you know, they can slide in there. They can be really tricky. So the more you can really reinforce this positivity, you're going to set yourself up for success. And then what I love to do, it's like I'll write my gratitude list and then I'll review it. And there's lots of different forms that gratitude can take. It can be a walking gratitude. I can be, there's an amazing book, The Magic by Rhonda Byrne, and she goes through many, many different forms of gratitudes that you can apply to your life, like being grateful for a certain person or being grateful for whatever. Mm-hmm. Then what I consider to be two other really, really important must-dos in my life, one of them is like a happy dance. I will set my timer, literally set my timer for like 4 minutes, and I'll just feel joy. I will feel so happy, and I'll just deliberately do it. Like, you can pretend you won a lottery, or you can pretend whatever, some wonderful thing happened, but it's just to get yourself there, and it's really fun, and it feels really good, and you just like, yeah, woohoo, yeah, I love my life, and you just really pump it up, pump it up, pump it up. And I used to do this with my grandkids, and it was really fun. And so you do that for your 4 minutes. Use your timer. And then you can move, again, right into a visualization. So that's where you think about the one thing you really want the most in your life, as if you've already got it, as if it came to you like a year ago even, and you visualize around that topic. And just so a visualization is like a really like a concentrated daydream. So it's like you want to take in, you know, you want to feel the tactile feelings, you want to smell the smells. So if you're walking along the beach with your beloved, you've called in your true soulmate, you want to feel their hand in yours. You know, you don't have to have a face because maybe you haven't in actuality met this person yet, but but you know what it feels like to hold the hand of someone you love. You know what it feels like to, you know, so you can walk along the hot sand, you can feel the water lapping at your toes because you're on this fabulous vacation. You know, so you do all of that as well. And, and that, again, is really fun. You set your timer. You're not doing any more than, say, 5 minutes, and then you get on your day. But you're in such a good mood that you're just calling in better things. You've raised your vibration, so now you're on a level. You're matching up with other high vibrational things.
Right. Other possibilities. So, and you're actually changing your biology by doing that. I mean, your genes are, you know, if anybody's read Bruce Lipton's work, The Biology of Belief, and epigenetics, you know, our body is very much responding to our emotions. And so when we start shifting our emotions to something that connotes safety and happiness, you know, our body is paying attention. Your body hears everything that you have to say. So I love
that.
Yeah,
and that's why the self-talk is so important. And as you become more aware that you are creating your reality through your thoughts and your emotions, they're creating the life circumstances of your life, of every aspect of your life. So when you become aware of what those thoughts are and just turning them around on a dime, and yeah, Bruce Lipton did wonderful work. Dr. Joe Dispenza, I love how he showed actual footage in his workshops of what's happening in the brain when you're not thinking the same thought, when you're creating a new neurological pathway by using affirmations. That's another thing that works right in with my visualizations. Then actually you could see it fall away. So it's true what they say, you lose it, or use it or lose it. And if you create a stronger neurological pathway of this positivity, you know, it's just amazing. And we live in such an incredible time when we now can scientifically back up all the things that, you know, all the sages throughout the ages have told us. And now we know that, yeah, it's true. It's true. It's really true. It's really happening. And our conscious, our mind is just a computer. It was really just there to help us, you know, okay, like to be like a servant to us. And it's kind of taken over. So becoming aware of your thoughts, becoming aware, period. I've been reading right now Rhonda Byrne's The Greatest Secret. And I'm loving that, too. And she talks about how just asking yourself, am I aware? And when you do that, your mind is quiet because it doesn't know what, it doesn't understand. And then you kind of take it, like, just keep doing that. It's like coming into the moment. Like, your mind is always in the past or in the future, and it's always just making shit up anyways. Like, it's not, you know, we think everything our mind says is, like, that's fact. You know, that's absolute truth. Right. No, it's not. It's just a story it keeps telling. And you can change that story. And so that's how, what I share with people how to do to work with these truths to really create life-altering changes in their lives. And it's just, it's so, love it. Love it, love it.
So, and all right, we're coming to the time. And, wow, you have so many skills and modalities and, you know, awarenesses that you bring. I want to just give you an opportunity to share a little bit. How will people get a hold of you? What kind of
you know, work you offer? I mean, you've given us a, you know, a general, but, you know, is there a program that you run? Is there a group that you have?
Well, first I'd like to invite them to come and check out my website, which is alexandriabarker.com. And if you, you know, you can come and sign up. If you join my mailing list, you get a gift of a five-part video training series, Loving the Law of Attraction, which really hones in on how to actually work with those thoughts, how to get a hold of that runaway train and start to be able to control the direction that your thoughts are going in. So that's all in that. I do a number of different programs, I'm one of Mike Dooley's trainers. I teach how to bust through limiting beliefs through his Infinite Possibilities program and create the kind of beliefs that are going to support you in your daily life and really help you achieve all of your goals and dreams. I do that work. I'm a Reiki master. I teach that online as well. And I do what's called Akashic Record Soul Realignment, which is when I'm sort of alluding to discovering who you are at soul level. This is work that I go into the Akashic Records to do. The Akashic Records is like a spiritual sort of intranet, and like every thought ever thought is held there. So when I have, like, with my client's permission, and there a few, some personal information so I know who they are, like name, birthday, where they're born, I can go into the records and I can help them sort out things like who they are at soul level, you know, like really determine what their divine gifts are and help them live in alignment with that. And, life just gets so much easier when you really know. So, again, just to draw it back to parallel to my own, because I had so many areas of you know, a skill set, I didn't know where to really focus until, I did my soul realignment, and then I realized I'm all about communicating our divine gifts. So even though I'm a yoga teacher, I wasn't going to achieve, like, it's also reveals how you intended to create your abundance. So I was never going to do that through yoga, you know, or through, like, because I just, I should focus on writing or on yoga or on Reiki or, you know, and then you're running around in circles trying to do a little bit of everything. So it's just such a relief to know that. So that it's a phenomenal program that I guide people through, and it's a coaching program as well. But there's a DIY version, or there's a coaching version, which I really recommend. But it takes people through, you know, soul relationship readings and soul profile and all kinds of fabulous things. But it's all on my website as well. But, yeah, it's just phenomenal, because once you clear the crap out, you're just so much happier. And all these other little problems disappear. Like I was able to release, like, stubborn weight that had been hanging around. And I was able to clear that, and sleep issues, and, you know, issues in other relationships in my life, because it's not just one, you know, that's impacting others. So it's really profound. And, of course, I've actually created my own program, which is called Wishful Thanking, 7 Simple Steps to Abundance, where I help people get familiar with their chakra system, which is how we bring in energy to the universe and regulate it throughout our body. But I've married that to all of our life areas. So, for example, like your relationships, your health, your finances, your, you know, all of that is tied to the chakras. And I've created a program that helps you know how to balance your own chakras, know when they're out of alignment, and at the same time be creating your divine life, because you're working on your health, your, you know, your creativity, your career, your romance. You know, like all every area of your life is targeted in that. So it's called Wishful Thanking, because it's being grateful in advance. So we do talk a lot about, you know, and the 7 steps. We work with affirmations and color therapy and crystals. I'm a crystal therapist as well. So in the beginning, I didn't leave without my cats or my crystals. So we work with colors, crystals, aromatherapy, so much more. And people will work with mind movies that are provided in it. And it also comes with a lot of coaching with me as well. So yes, please do drop by my website, alexandriabarker.com, and get that free gift of those videos. And you won't regret it, that's for sure, because just every little bit of understanding takes you up that ladder a little bit higher. And I have great success with working you know, with these programs to help people really achieve where they want to be. Like, amazing. It's amazing to see how people blossom. It's so fun.
Thank you for bringing all of that and sharing that. And the links to your website and contact information will also be in the Facebook group, The Not Too Late Show.
Wonderful.
As well as the replay to this later on when there is a replay to be had.
That would be wonderful, and then I'll feature that on my website too.
Okay, great. That's wonderful.
That would be great. Well, thank you so much, Miche, for having me on your show. It's been a real treat, and I wish all your viewers just the happiest ever. Everything, you know. There's a quote I like to, because I'm an author as well, and I always put the quote on, "May the most you wish for be the least you receive." That's an old Irish expression. I'm not Irish, but I borrowed it anyway. So I just like to extend that out to all of your viewers and listeners and yourself as well. And
thank you. Yeah. We're officially out of time. So
okay. Goodbye then, and thanks so much.
Yeah.
Big love, everybody.
All right, and just to let people know who've been following the spoon bending workshop happenings, there is another one coming up on the 18th of April. I'll be posting more information about that in the Not Too Late Show Facebook group. So check that out, and you can also listen to or find the replay links for all the other episodes that have come before, and information about those guests and how to connect with them. So thank you again, everybody, for listening and participating and just holding the space for this. We're moving the planet forward as we expand our own awareness. Thanks. Love you all. See you next week.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.